This is Naked Oceans with Helen Scales and Sarah Castor Perry. This month we're diving into the census of marine life, an extraordinary 10-year project with the colossal aim of documenting life in the oceans. With so many researchers venturing out into the oceans to collect marine creatures, the census quickly piled up thousands of specimens to identify. One of the techniques for cataloguing marine life that was pioneered by the census is DNA barcoding. This allows you to take a sample from an ecosystem and identify all the animals present, although not necessarily giving each one an individual species name. I spoke to Anne Bucklin from the University of Connecticut about the debate over whether this is just going to create a nameless catalogue.
We would love to name everything in the ocean, and we have a team of taxonomists in every project who are expert taxonomists whose whole job is to name species. And we found, hundreds of new species. We're in the process of naming them. We think it's the right thing to do. The problem is that naming species with formal taxonomic descriptions is a very slow process. And so many of us feel that, unfortunately, we just don't have that time. And so the next best thing that we can offer is some kind of objective, reliable, valid indicator of what a species is. And so what the census has done is to say that we have a reliable marker of species that we call a DNA barcode. Now that's a short sequence, and we know that it doesn't contain all of the information that morphologists would like us to have, but we know also that it's a very good indicator of what a species is and is not. And so the goal of the census barcoders is to provide a set of data which can be translated eventually, when we get to it, into species. The wonders of barcodes, there are some dynamics of DNA sequences that are quite remarkable and extremely helpful in this endeavor. One of them is that in all cases, the DNA sequence variation is less within a species than it is between a species. That's called a barcode gap. Barcodes are good to identify species. Another one is that barcodes do a very good job of clustering major groups of animals. So you may not know what species it is, but you know what group it belongs to. And so with barcodes, you can get a kind of an index of biodiversity. It isn't the same as naming species, but it actually is going to help us conserve them.
And how do you go about barcoding? Is it kind of like you take up a scoop of sediment and you can work out, right, there's this many types of nematode worm, there's this many types of mollusk in this sample?
The way the census has started barcoding is what we call gold standard barcoding. And so we work from an identified specimen. The taxonomist says this is the species, and that taxonomist gives the specimen to the barcoders, and we determine a sequence. And so now we have a gold standard. We have a DNA sequence with a name on it. So overall, 35,000 species of marine organisms, marine animals, have been barcoded. Now what we're starting to do is to take that scoop of animals, whether it's a net sample of plankton, a scoop of sediment, any kind of habitat that you could name, and we're doing deep sequencing with a new high-throughput sequencing. And what we do then is a very complicated analytical task, which is done for us by bioinformatics, to tell us how many species we think are in that sample. Some of those will match our library of gold standard barcodes, some will not, but some will be close enough so that we can classify. So we say, we don't know what copepod that is, but we know it's a copepod. And so that's the power of what we call environmental barcoding.
So how important do you think that the DNA barcoding has been within the census? How important a role has it played within it?
The census has embraced barcoding across all of the 14 field projects. There's a partner program to the census that's called the Consortium for Barcode of Life. And the Consortium for Barcode of Life has a campaign in marine species that started in 2004. And we've worked very closely together. Some of the census projects have partnered with the Consortium for Barcode of Life. Some of them have done it themselves. But very early on in the census, all of the projects were asked to designate a person, a laboratory, to learn the standardized techniques of the Consortium for Barcode of Life, all of the data quality requirements. And so what we have now, of course, is a situation where the sum is greater, much greater than its parts, because we actually have data from all of the census projects that are entirely comparable, carried out with the same protocols, the same approach, the same gene. And so we are looking at a library of barcodes now that is going to be a baseline for us to both continue the gold standard barcoding effort and also use environmental barcoding to do this kind of index. We call it a genomic signature, a genomic fingerprint, so that each ocean realm can have a different genomic fingerprint characterized by barcode diversity. It's not the same as knowing species diversity, but it's close.
So barcoding allows an estimate of total species in an area to be made much quicker than if you went through morphologically classifying each specimen one by one, which I suppose in a survey of this size, it's kind of, you know, you need to save some time somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the guys was there from the British Antarctic Survey, and he said something like if we were really going to sit down and identify, I think we were down to just copepods at that point, all the ones that they'd found specimens, with the people who are specialists in that area at the moment, it would take something like 200 years to identify them all. So, yes, we really do need some help when it comes to figuring out all those species living in the oceans.